I'm going to ask the next speaker to come forward in just a moment, but I want to give George in the back of the room a heads up. After Wayne Mattson speaks, I would like to have the Walter Jones and Terry Strada videos shown. Helga mentioned the significance of the 9/11 attacks as a transformative moment, leading us down the path of crisis that we've now really reached a breakpoint on. And so that is something that I want to share with all of you in just a few moments. Of course, one of the major dimensions of the post-9/11 destruction of our constitutional principles and system has been the massive expansion of a surveillance state that is not directed against any kind of legitimate enemies of the United States, but is directed against our citizens, against leading officials in allied governments. We have the benefit of the Edward Snowden revelations that have put more of a precise public spotlight on something that has been ongoing as a crisis for a very long time. The main difference between the tyranny of J. Edgar Hoover and the tyranny of the NSA and these other institutions today is the massive expansion of the technologies of surveillance. One of the people who has fought for quite a long time against that is our next speaker, Wayne Mattson. Wayne was a Navy officer, served briefly in the NSA, left the Navy, became involved with the EPIC organization, and has been in the forefront of both fighting under Freedom of Information Act and through public exposure to get the truth out and to basically tear down this massive surveillance state. So I'd like to welcome Wayne Mattson.
Well, thank you, Jeff. It's kind of serendipitous. I arrived here in New York last night while en route from spending the last week at both the Dwight Eisenhower and Harry S. Truman presidential libraries, where I was doing research in the early days of our national security state. Now, they've been experiencing a lot of earthquakes in the Midwest, and some have been attributed to fracking. I actually believe that some of them are probably as a result of both those gentlemen, Presidents Truman and Eisenhower, spinning in their graves over what has become of the Cold War instruments that Truman created, Eisenhower, of course, built up on. CIA was created in 1947. The NSA was created in 1952. The revelations of Edward Snowden, of course, were shocking to a lot of people, but to many of us who have followed NSA's history since about the early 90s, late 80s, it really wasn't a surprise. When I worked at NSA in the mid-80s, I started hearing the term used by several NSA engineers working in signals intelligence. They were talking about total hearability. Now, I even had to look up that word hearability in a dictionary. It didn't exist. It didn't exist. But they were. This was the day when NSA was basically in an analog world, listening to all kinds of communications over the phone, telemetry, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of it radio frequency spectrum, not on fiber optic cables as we see data transmitted today. So that was their intention, total hearability. They wanted to hear everything. Then we came into the 90s, the end of the Bush 41 administration, the Clinton administration, and NSA had a new program where they said, look, we know people are encrypting their information, but NSA needs to have access to it, so they came up with something called Key Escrow, encryption had various names, clipper chip, capstone chip. One I especially liked was Tessera, which was the Tessera was a tile worn by Roman slaves to identify themselves to the Roman authority as slaves. NSA, I don't know who their PR people are when they roll these things out, but that certainly wasn't met with any great favor by those of us in the privacy community. I think one of the funniest programs, NSA says that they developed these names of these various systems because they have a master book they go to. Now, a couple, as a result of the Snowden revelations, I had to laugh at one called Egotistical Giraffe. And I just remember some of the tall, lanky people I worked with at NSA. the one that was used to spy on the Mexican president was called White Tamale. And that we're supposed to believe that's just happenstance they came up with that term. But so the Clipper chip created probably the first firestorm as far as the public's view of NSA offering the public these new gifts of key escrow. Then we had, of course, 9/11. But even before 9/11, we know that NSA, the minute the Bush administration came into power in that fraudulent election of 2000, they already were pressuring telephone companies, telcos, give them access to their data switches. AT&T, Verizon, one in particular refused, Quest, and their CEO went to prison on some trumped-up inside trading accusations. He was convicted, spent some time in jail. I think he'd be the first to tell you that that was a political prosecution because he wasn't going to play with the NSA. NSA, then we saw something develop called the Total Information Awareness Program. That was done in DARPA, Defense Advanced Research Project Agency. So who did they haul out to head up that program? A guy named John Poindexter. Admiral Poindexter, one of the perpetrators of the greatest government conspiracy since Watergate, the Iran-Contra scandal, and they put him in charge. And people in the administration said, we're accused of all kinds of conspiracy theories. These are not true. So why did they get one of the conspirators in Iran-Contra to head up Total Information Awareness? They talked about conspiracy. The logo for that program was the pyramid with the all-seeing eye looking down on the planet. And they said, people that complain about that are conspiracy theorists. Okay. When the 9/11 Commission was named, I started, for the first time, I was approached by whistleblowers. Now, I had worked at NSA. The idea of a whistleblower there was just unheard of. We had spies in the 80s. We had the Pelton case and the Walker spy ring. But to have whistleblowers come forward, not because they wanted to expose secrets, they wanted to expose wrongdoing. And this was shocking to me. And I said, things must really be bad at NSA for this to happen. So how were these people dealt with? They were, talking about warrantless wiretapping, Stellar Wind. You've seen some on TV even before the revelations of Snowden. Russ Tice, there was Tom Drake in the Justice Department. Thomas Tam was a Justice Department prosecutor. All these people were basically hauled in to answer questions. Some went before grand juries. The FBI wanted to charge them. We saw this administration, the Obama administration, charge 8 to 9 people under the Espionage Act in 1917. Obama has done more prosecutions under that act than all of his predecessors combined, just to silence whistleblowers. And then we heard a kind of a takeoff on total hearability. Collect it all. NSA's mission is to collect it all. Then we had the Snowden revelations. the most important thing about the Snowden revelations, we knew they were doing this. We knew they were surveilling journalists. I wrote about a program called First Fruits that was collecting not only what journalists were writing about NSA, but who they were talking to on the telephones. They were mixing signals intelligence intercepts on our communications and then putting it in their database. What Snowden showed us was how they're doing it. We knew they were doing it, but he gave us the technical document showing how they were doing the surveillance. And it's across the board. We now have what's called SIGADs, Signal Intelligence Activity Descriptors. They're nomenclatures used. They used to be for NSA stations, like Menwith Hill, England, Misawa, Japan. Now they have SIGADs for AT&T and Verizon switches in this country. Also for Yahoo, for Google, for PayPal. And you know, this first look, this group, Pierre Omidyar, founded PayPal, gives $100 million to Greenwald and some other journalists to write about NSA. I believe the real reason for that is that he didn't want information coming out that PayPal is a major supporter of NSA surveillance. So how do you silence that? You buy off some journalists with $100 million. Might work. I didn't get my offer yet. I'm a little upset about that. We also heard from Snowden about the third parties to NSA surveillance, the second parties, which are the English-speaking countries, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Britain, United States. Angela Merkel expressed total surprise when she found out her Handy, her cell phone, was being listened on by NSA. But didn't she bother to go to the Bundesnachrichtendienst, her Federal Intelligence Service, to find out, yes, we're cooperating with NSA in that program, and we've been listening to all your communications. I likened her to the inspector in the movie Casablanca, Inspector Reynaud, when he says, I'm shocked to find gambling in this establishment. And then he's handed his winnings. Okay, NSA, they are collecting it all. You play online games. You serve porno sites. They're in there. They're using this information. It's across the board. There is no such thing as privacy in this world of NSA. We know about tailored access operations, introducing viruses, malware. A lot of the spam you get is NSA, and they're involved with that. As far as them monitoring world leaders, well, they've been doing that's actually their charter. They've been doing that for years. And if the world leaders think that I think the world leaders are upset because they thought they were immune to this because we're leaders. How can we? We're the G20. How can we be listened on by NSA? When you're a target of NSA, there's no safe harbor. Now, in closing, because I know we want time for questions, I just want to say what can be done. There's a lot of people say, look, you know, Obama, he had some internal reports. Let's modify what NSA does. Let's restrict them. Let's reimpose the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act requirements. My feeling on NSA, it's an out-of-control intelligence agency. End it, don't mend it. Get rid of it. When the Shah was overthrown, they didn't mend Savak, they got rid of Savak. When apartheid South Africa fell, they didn't mend the Bureau of State Security boss, they got rid of it. They got rid of the KGB, they got rid of the Stasi, they got rid of the Securitate in Romania. They got rid of the State Research Bureau after they got rid of Idi Amin. They got rid of the Tonton Macoute in Haiti when they got rid of Baby Doc. So let's get rid of NSA. You can take that facility. It's a wonderful facility, campus they have. We have a shortage of engineers and scientists in this country. It would make a wonderful training center for engineers, vocational technical people. With all those unemployed NSA people, they'll still have jobs. They can teach mathematics and engineering to all these people that need that training. Or it can be just the University of Maryland, Columbia campus. It was interesting to read through the papers of Eisenhower and Truman. I have to say that if they were around today, they would also agree with me that what you do with NSA, what it has become, you have to end it, don't mend it. Thank you very much.